Listen up, ladies and gentlemen. Alex has got something to say.
Hey, it's Alex. Just want to say a big thank you to everyone that has listened to us so far, and thank you for tuning in for another episode. Just wanted to say, if you like the show, give us a 5-star review on iTunes, subscribe, share and tell your friends. That would be awesome. And also don't forget to check us out on our Audio Boom channel. If you just type in Audio Boom and This Thing On into a search engine, you will find us. Come say hi on Twitter. We are over at This Thing On Pod. Come say hello on Facebook as well. Just type This Thing On into search. And we are on Instagram as well, which is This Thing On Podcast. Thank you again for listening. Just share and tell all your friends.
Lame.
Hello and welcome to another episode of This Thing On. I'd just like to say a very quick privit to our listeners in Ukraine. Dyakyu for listening, and we really do tebe labiu, love you. And we apologise for Joe because he can sometimes be a bit of a kui. Anyway.
What were you saying there?
We'll tell you later. I'm here with my co-host Joe Foster.
Hi.
Producer Al.
Hello.
And our fantastic guest this month, Sarah Keyworth.
Hey.
Hey, Sarah, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you? What's a
kui?
Yeah.
Should we backtrack? It's just a lovely guy.
Naughty, naughty C word?
I was watching some Ukrainian, how to speak Ukrainian videos earlier, and that word was under a video, how to swear in Ukrainian.
Excellent.
Wow. So it's right. Not a good word.
Are you sure you're pronouncing?
We don't know what it means, but it's not good.
I can guess what it means. What is that the proper pronunciation though?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe.
I watched that video twice.
if you say their C word wrong, that makes you a C word, doesn't it?
Part of the video was, I think it's meant to be more huh. Because they're saying when they come to England and any time someone says the word who, they think they're calling them that word.
Right. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Kahoo.
Kahoo. Hui.
Anyway. Yeah. Sarah, how are you?
Really good.
Yeah, we're big in Ukraine, apparently.
I see.
Well, I say big. 70 listeners.
Hi, guys. Hello,
hey, Ukraine.
That's on more the Eurovision. Than... Amazing.
That's more than southern England, isn't it?
Sorry, I should explain to our listeners, I had 4 drinks to carry, 3 waters and 1 Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. Sarah's was the Diet Coke, and 1 slipped out of my hand, and of course it was the Diet Coke.
Yeah. I'm going to open it in the middle of the podcast.
At the most silent bit.
It's going to be like chaos.
Sarah's got a cup of tea.
I do. I bought it.
Nice.
Yeah.
What, from downstairs?
From downstairs, brought it up here, carried it all myself.
Did they give it to you in a mug downstairs?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
What else would they give it to me in?
I've been getting these paper
this
cups.
Paper bullshit.
You look irresponsible. Like. I look like
they saw what I did with the Diet Coke.
Yeah. They know that I can handle a mug.
I put tea in a paper cup stays hot for about 3 years as well. So
this is true. Lucky.
Difficult to carry.
And if it's one of those polystyrene cups, I will bite it.
Yeah.
So I'll just be drinking out of the bite mark that I've left.
It's literally impossible not to, though.
Yeah, it's so satisfying, isn't it?
Mm.
They don't do them anymore very often, do they? Not very often, anyway. They're around.
They're bad for the environment.
Oh, yeah. You sometimes see them on like sets of things, as in sets of like sort of TV or like and yeah,
like police dramas.
Anywhere that's got like one of them coffee machines that's just like you know a big thing full of coffee that you just like everyone helps themselves. Sometimes you will see those cups there. But not so often sold from a coffee shop, etc.
The reason that Al's here is so that we can appeal to the common man.
Yeah. When you're on a film set. Yeah.
That's why I look so puzzled.
Yeah, am I right, guys?
Didn't you hate it when you're doing that big blockbuster?
Hurry up, Depp.
Oh. And all the cops have bites in them.
I was doing a shoot last week, and I don't like polystyrene. do not like it. I mean, and obviously it's bad for the environment, so that's mainly why, but also too squeaky.
This is going to be a groundbreaking podcast if you've broken in so early to not liking polystyrene.
Sorry, guys.
Do we not like polystyrene? I haven't drank out of a polystyrene cup for many years, but today I've been drinking mulled wine too early. That's right, mate, I'm on it. I'm on winter. I'm into winter.
That's amazing. Brilliant. Good for
nice
you.
Nice one. Well, in the last one, you got slowly drunker on gin, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, so basically now I've just had a roast, like, so I'm going steadily the other way. By the end of this, drunk. I'm going to be really on point, but like now, I'm having fun.
Wow. Me and Al, we went to a fireworks display the other night in Preston Park. A free one. It was lovely.
Good on it.
It was lovely.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
And Al played his favourite firework game, which is that one was my favourite.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But which one is your favourite?
Well, I mean, the point of the game is to say it after everyone, no matter which. I think the point is to be as annoying to the person next to you as possible. Yeah.
I heard that phrase 27 times.
Incredible. Yeah. Only 27 fireworks.
There were some mediocre. Yeah. There were some mediocre ones. You can't always get that hit every time.
Yeah,
it was a tight set, but for the firework man. But I found, like, because I was actually at that firework display as well. I don't want to be too local, but I was at that firework display, and they did it. Sometimes they do it with music. This is the first, because I obviously live a very privileged life.
There was music.
This is the first time in 5 years that I've seen one without music. And do you know what? I think it's much better.
Right.
Oh, that's
right.
In they play like the Star Wars theme tune.
Yeah, yeah. Or Queen, Don't Stop Me Now, or something like that. True story.
I've never seen one with music. Ever.
Oh,
yeah, because I don't live a privileged life.
Well, you know, it's a bit shit, to be fair.
Anywhere that I've lived, they've got together and been like, we can have one or the other this year. We can have music, or we can have fireworks. Every time we go for fireworks.
Just make your pick.
Mm-hmm. Like, there was one time where they went for the Star Wars theme tune without the fireworks, and it was bleak. So.
That's just someone with it on their phone.
Yeah. Mm. The whole village gathered around.
It's still hilarious, but it's just not. No one's sure why. Mm. Are you a pumpkin carver?
Not really, actually. I have pumpkin carved in the past. I've dabbled.
Past tense of pumpkin carving.
I carved my first pumpkin.
This year?
Yeah, this year.
How did you find it?
It was pretty spectacular. I made it look happy, which I don't think is the main aim of the game.
How do you make it look happy?
Well, I'll show you.
That's great for audio.
It is great. I mean, but like my first pumpkin, I don't think it was that bad. But like, you know, you see people and they've done like a VW van and shit.
Yeah.
And this was like
Pennywise the Clown.
Back to basics.
Like, fuck off, you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Put too much effort in.
Mm.
And my girlfriend used to live with an architect.
Oh, God. Who I hate carved, those guys.
Who carved her pumpkin for her. And
it's cheating.
Yeah, well, this is it. But apparently it was sensational.
It's not cheating. Like,
yeah,
you're allowed to have another guy carve your pumpkin.
Yeah, it's literally being good at a thing. Yeah. That's not cheating. Yeah.
See, there it is. I got
like
a hat on it.
Kissing and sex is cheating.
There you go. That's a good pumpkin.
Is it wearing a wig?
It's wearing a wig and a hat. I had a Halloween party and these were just left over. There you go. Do you like that?
Rogue, though, actually, adding additional materials.
It's a health and safety risk.
It is, yeah.
One I was willing to take. But first pumpkin, I was pretty proud.
I discovered last year that I'm not actually bothered enough about carving pumpkins to commit to dealing with disposing of it.
Yeah.
Because I like to leave it in the house. And one time I carved a pumpkin and then went away for the weekend and I came back and I swear to God, the fucker had melted. I don't know what happened, but it was so horrible. And so I think that's kind of put me off.
They really just implode on themselves.
They do. Like, one minute they're this like cute little scary situation. The next minute they're just a pile of goo on the carpet,
taking up a life of themselves.
Yeah, everyone's having a miserable time.
Are you a fancy dress person for Halloween? Or
again, I have done. I haven't this year because I was just working the whole time because I'm very busy. I'm very important.
We're so lucky to have you.
Yeah, you are. You're very lucky to have me. I'm actually in costume now. No, I like to dress up. Like, I like going to fancy dress parties. I'm so lazy with it, though. Like, I like to think that I'll just manage to throw something together on the day, and then I panic. And the most recent Halloween kind of style party I went to was back in Nottingham, where my parents were from, and I made my mom make me a scarecrow from The Dark Knight costume.
Nice.
Oh, that's really good.
Which was amazing. It was so good, but it destroyed one of her potato sacks, and she was kind of annoyed about that. But, like, I turned up, and I was like, "Mom, I don't have a costume, and I'm leaving in an hour." And she was like, "For fuck's sake."
Classic.
She sewed a mouth onto a potato sack for me.
Hour notice fancy dress.
Yeah, but it looks so good. Like, nice. Honestly, credit to you, Kelly.
But I just like that phrase, destroyed one of her potato sacks. Like, who's got loads of potato sacks hanging about in their shed?
Yeah, my mum's a keen gardener. She has an allotment, and therefore she has potatoes, and therefore she has potato sacks, because why wouldn't you? Yeah. Well, she doesn't anymore.
And was that the good potato sack you took?
It was the best one. Yeah, obviously. I didn't want to look like shit.
The Jersey Royals. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
You try and name potatoes.
I was about to say
King Charles Spaniel, but that's...
I think it's an Irish setter.
What kind of... What's the potato that said, like, a king or a...
King George?
No.
Oh, so many people are going to be listening at home thinking, what are you not thinking?
Please feel free to phone in with your potatoes. Yeah.
What is it? Oh, I'm thinking now, Maris Piper's one.
Yeah, we're always trying to encourage people.
Not off on your bingo sheet.
What's your new
favorite
topic? There's always the new.
Well,
we're always trying to get people to interact with us on social media, aren't we?
So, yeah, tweet us with your potato types.
Please, for the love of God, do not.
If I have a gig in the Ukraine and people are going to be there shouting out.
Our 70 fans.
Yeah.
As producer, I've taken it upon myself to actually look this up for us, just to stop
arguments that may ensue.
King Edward potato.
No.
I knew it.
We were close, we said king.
Yeah, we did.
Well, good work.
Which is only half of it, to be fair.
Alex, are you a dresser-upper?
I'm much like Sarah in the sense that I'm a very lazy, fancy dresser. I once went to a pirate-themed party in a leather jacket and sunglasses and some blank CD things in my pocket because I was a DVD pirate.
Incredible.
Right. Okay.
I had all of the things beforehand apart from the blank discs.
But those are the kind of costumes that I appreciate the most. Like ones where you've just like... gone with a complete curveball.
I wish you'd been there because it was not well received.
I can see why. The best.
Is that because I called you a hui?
I don't know. I still don't know what that means. And I'm sure the Mexicans will be really mad at me. But no, the best thing that I've seen someone go to a fancy dress party as is they had a Hawaiian shirt and a long leather coat. And spiked up hair. And I said, who are you? And they said, I'm Alfie Moon from EastEnders. And I was literally like, that's the best improvised thing I've ever seen in my life. And it was kind of, I went as Pablo Escobar's bloated corpse, which was easy for me because I just had a Hawaiian shirt and just whited out my face or whatever. But like, I do remember thinking at the time, like lots of people on the build up to it were going to me like, oh, I still haven't sorted out my costume yet. And I remember saying like, what I remember, like it was like the most patronizing sentence I've ever said about anything. But I was just like, basically what you need to do is go to charity shops and then pick the costume, pick the item, find the character. And I was just like, who the fuck am I? But it took like so long for me to realize how douchey I was being.
You've actually ruined Halloween.
No, I killed Halloween.
Halloween's cancelled.
I'm going to South Africa tomorrow.
You are?
Throw that one out there.
Wow, that's a change in topic.
Because of what you just said.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're fleeing the country.
He's been asked to leave.
Just trying to get away from the heat. But yeah, no, going to South Africa tomorrow.
That's very nice. It'll be warm there.
There, it will be very warm.
Whereabouts are you going?
Cape Town.
I've been there.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you like it?
I liked it a lot. It was very windy though, so tie your hair back.
cancel the flight. Yeah. How long were you in Cape Town for?
I was there for 2 weeks.
When was that, this year or...?
It was last January.
Oh, cool.
No, not this year. The January before the January that we had this year.
2016?
Yeah, we'll go with that. Yes.
If people want to pinpoint when Sarah was in South Africa.
This year has gone so fast for me that I can't actually handle
time.
The fact that it's nearly a new January and therefore it will have been 2 years ago that I went to South Africa.
This year's gone really quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has been.
I just date stamp my year by operations that I've had. I've had four operations this year.
Okay, is that a thing that you like maintain on purpose?
Yeah, just so I know where I am in the year.
What operations have you had?
Eardrums and hernias. All of them.
The big three.
the big three.
Okay, cool.
Well, it was three hernias, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was three hernias. Yeah, sorry.
I don't know why I find it so hilarious.
Almost back to full health, though. So
you've got a trilogy of hernias.
Yeah.
After the second, did you not think, well, this has been done?
Yeah.
Just greedy.
Yeah.
Just greedy.
Just taking all the hernias for yourself. All right, cool.
But how are you getting on with that now? How's the healing, man?
All up to scratch now. I'm allowed now to jog and swim. Wow. I'm not quite up to football yet, though.
What a gift. Yes, I can jog and swim.
Two of the things I've been waiting for this whole year.
God.
Back in August, I was like, just want to get to that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to swim.
I mean, we've got Halloween, bonfire, all those things to look forward to. I've just got that little circle on the calendar of when I can
swimming
jog and
day.
Swim. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been allowed to swim for 2 weeks and I have not been.
Oh, okay.
So. Do they really time it like that? So many people must break that rule.
Oh yeah, but I don't. I like to play by the rules.
Yeah, I know.
With my track record of operations, I can't risk doing
so
anything
what's
too
the
soon.
New, what's the new album? Is there anything else going on?
I've actually got a bit of pain in my left ear, so I'm going to the doctor tomorrow.
Okay, good. Alex has seen every medical specialist in the East Sussex area. So
are you genuinely like having problems, or are you a hypochondriac?
Genuine.
Okay.
So.
All right.
All
well, there's.
I'm also a hypochondriac.
I guess that's better.
Yeah.
Than being a little bitch.
He just loves the doctors.
Just
loves
the doctors.
Cannot get
just
enough.
I struggle at the doctors because I was talking to my housemate about this recently. Every time I go to the doctor and they're like, "Oh, how can I help you?" No matter how big or small the problem is, when I am given a platform to tell somebody what's been going on and what's wrong, like genuinely just talk about what's going on, I well up, like I start. it can be like the smallest thing, like, oh, I've just been feeling a bit queasy, but like I'm like somebody's finally listening to me.
The splinter's really emotional.
It's really weird, like, and I'm like,
you're almost sort of welling up now.
Yeah, I know, because you guys are giving me your attention.
Yeah. Feel free to go for it, Sarah. We are here to listen. It's okay.
We want to help you.
That's why you brought me here. This thing isn't even on.
Your friends have got in touch with us. They asked us to invite you in today.
There is no podcast. There is
That's
no,
not even recording.
There is no Ukraine. Yeah.
These are just pineapples. There's the microphones.
Another visual aid.
Yep, sorry. Great. Doing the visual jokes today. Well, that's good. What I think is really good about that is that when you're explaining and you're welling up, they will take you seriously. Like, as in, like, you know, sometimes when they go, like, well, I have it because I smoke. When you have a faint thing and it's completely unconnected and they're like, do you smoke? And then they instantly stop listening to anything else that you're saying. But like if you're doing like a really, because what they must see it as like, wow, this is tearing Sarah apart.
I don't know what it is. I don't know why I for some reason get really like affected by having a concerned person who I perceive to be an adult like paying attention to me. But
are you emotional about the doctors, Joe?
No, I mean, I try and stay out. try and stay out of it. It's none of my business. but you know, I have to. You gotta go. Sometimes you gotta go. And I'm kind of like, I'm better now because the doctor's nearer to my house. So when I used to go to my old doctor's, which was further away from my house, it was like I would get there with like, of course I'm fucking here again, and you're gonna look at me. And I'm going to ask for your help. And for some reason be really indignant before I'd even like... But I think I'm all right. I either ignore slash... you know, it's until the last minute and I go, all right, I'll take a morning off.
I'm so worried about being seen as a hypochondriac by my own doctor that I don't go, I kind of bottle the amount up. So when I go there, I've got five things to tell him.
I have currently got a backlog of things because it's nothing to do with not wanting to go to the doctor. It's just being too lazy to go to the doctor. Even though the doctor lives 5 minutes from my house. The doctor is 5 minutes from my house.
But it's not beneficial to you. Well, it is. That's the problem. But like, you feel like, I get what you're saying. You're just like, this is a pain in the ass because of the...
And sometimes it's literally a pain in the ass.
We were briefly... We were talking about Halloween earlier. So I was thinking, and I did a gig on Halloween this year that did not go very well. So I was thinking we could all share a gig horror story.
Yeah. What, in a Halloween-y theme?
Not necessarily. Well, the only theme is that I've used the word horror. It doesn't have to be specific to Halloween, but mine is.
Right.
I'd just like a little disclaimer. I'm not going to name the gig because it is a very nice gig and it's normally a lot of fun to play.
God, I really want to know.
I will tell you afterwards. It's just this night and by the promoter / MC.
Did someone throw chicken wings at you?
No, I wish they had. Own admission, what was about to happen, they admitted it was a bad idea and it wasn't their decision for this to happen.
Yeah. I was going to say, if it makes it easier for you to describe it, I do have the power to edit / beep things out, so feel free to just chat away. And I can have beeps and whatever you want.
He's told me that after I've spent 2 minutes describing the situation.
What the listeners really will want to hear, though, and I think that I'm right in saying this, is how... Give us the whole story.
Okay.
Because no one gives the headspace that they were in before they went to the gig.
Okay.
Like, were you feeling up? Were you happy?
You woke up in the morning. What were you thinking?
I was thinking, oh, wow, comedy on Halloween. That'll be fun.
What were you really thinking?
Oh, got a gig tonight.
I'm going to dress up
as a DVD pirate.
Yeah.
We all?
So basically, this was the situation.
You got to the gig. Who was there?
All the comedians. Everyone was there on time.
And they were nice.
Some names.
Everyone was there on time.
Any
dickheads?
Or...
And I was on first.
Were you happy about that?
That's fine. I'll perform where I'm told. I'm not difficult.
Yeah.
And
if any promoters are listening.
Please book me. And just before I went on stage, the audience were given each a pumpkin.
Oh, brilliant.
To carve.
Oh, God.
And thus began the carving during my entire set. And the following sets. And my comedy isn't good enough to compete when you've got the ability to draw a giant knob into a pumpkin, as one person did.
I mean, that is hilarious.
Exactly. I cannot compete with that. No,
that's it. That's better than my
fucking listen to me.
No.
So,
were they all given knives as well?
Yes, so
carpet,
if the gig went really badly, they also have weapons.
No,
I thought they were going to say they threw the pumpkins.
Is this by any chance a promoter with a van? 13 pumpkins? I assume there were 13 people.
I was trying
there.
To think of a promoter. No.
How many pumpkins?
They weren't big.
We were getting
pumpkins.
More and more of a sort of idea
but to be
of
fair,
what this gig is.
They weren't big 13 pumpkins. People? Were they oranges?
Someone had a good go at drawing on a Satsuma.
So why did you ask? Did you ask?
It was one of those ones where I was so...
taken aback.
Yeah, I was caught off guard by the whole situation and how little they didn't want to listen to me.
I would have been bloody livid.
Also, but the other thing that's annoying about carving a pumpkin, and I can talk about this because I got my carving pumpkin thing.
Almost words.
You lost your
the mold wine is wearing off, guys. It's not
carving virginity.
This isn't going to be another David Earl. So anyway.
Joe, take 10.
Also, yes, cut it off. But also, the things that you pull out a pumpkin are almost perfect to throw at an entertainer, aren't they?
It's true. You know that the stuff that you pull out of a pumpkin is still part of a pumpkin.
You know, yeah, the bits and bobs.
Yeah.
The pumpkin they pull out of a pumpkin.
The insides of a pumpkin.
We had my girlfriend put them in the oven with a little bit of salt, pepper and oil, and they were fantastic.
Very nice.
And you should leave her.
True story.
What, the insides? Like the seeds?
The seeds, yeah. They're really good. They're like popcorn. True story.
Wow.
This woman's a witch.
Yeah, she is. She is.
Do you want to say that out, Joe?
No.
You'll actively encourage her to listen to that part of the
podcast.
Don't
worry, she never gets this far in.
just to let you know how badly that gig went, during my set, someone accidentally knocked a glass off the table and someone else in the audience said, I think they were trying to throw it at you.
No.
Oh, wow.
So that was great. That was fun.
So,
normally a lovely gig. Normally a very lovely gig.
What gig was it? What is it out? Yeah. Just say it. I have to throw it.
It was the one there we was.
God.
Which has been quiet. Which is, why would you give people Wumpkin?
Halloween was on a Tuesday.
It was a Halloween themed gig.
This is bullshit.
And I've made all of that up. No.
Was it the Thursday? What day was Halloween?
Tuesday, so it was the Thursday before.
Oh, it was the Thursday before. That's fucking madness.
Yeah, that's
like having Christmas now.
Yeah.
Why were they even selling pumpkins at that stage?
Why do they have pumpkins?
I was too shaken up by the whole incident.
Yeah. You know that gig takes place in the... Am I right? See, look at that joke. You can't cut that out.
Yeah. That's gold.
That's a bonus episode for...
This is a gift. We're promoting this gig.
Yeah, exactly. There's going to be Ukrainians buying flights, Japanese... Guys, five. It's Ukrainian, isn't it?
Yeah, mate.
Sweet. Cool.
Right. Sarah, yes. Do you have any gig horror stories?
I have one that is quite similar to yours, but because it happened...
Did they have pumpkins?
It happened really recently, as in, like, last Thursday. So, whatever day ago that was, because we are being...
Was it the same night?
No, it was not.
It was the week after.
Okay.
Well, yeah. We haven't had a Thursday for 3 weeks anyway, so don't worry. Go ahead.
Well, when I booked, my agent emailed me and said, like, you've had a request, can you do this charity LGBT gig? And I was like, free on the night. And I was like, sure, I can help gay people. Fine. I'm a gay. Maybe the money will come to me. So I agreed to it. And it was like months in advance. And then I showed up, not really like thinking too much about it. It was in Canary Wharf. I was like, that sounds fancy. Sweet. That's cool. Turned up and it was like... a corporate charity gig.
No.
Which is
no.
Not fun, because you get all the fun of a corporate but none of the nice cash of a corporate. So it was just like a bunch of poshos sat around tables eating. Well, not eating. They were all sat at tables and I was stood on the stage in the middle of them. Like, there was a lord there. I'm not going to name the name of the lord because I forgot.
Hey, I named the knight.
I can't remember which lord it was, but it was one of the... white
one of
men
the Tory ones.
One of the white women in government. I don't know which white man it was, but he looked very lordy. And he showed up. I don't know why he was there. Maybe he thought the L in LGBT was for lords. It was confusing. But he showed up, and they were all sat around these tables, and I was on stage, honestly, guys, kicking it in the dick. It was going really well. They were laughing. I was having a nice time. And then halfway through my set, they started serving the starters.
Oof.
So this, like,
what was the start?
It was pate.
People think it's not important. It really is important.
I found out immediately, and so it was so distracting because like 8 waiters just showed up and started serving them, which is incredibly distracting. So they were all not paying attention, and then like after the waiters left, they all obviously had pate, and I'm not better than a starter. And so then I had to do the rest of my set about pate. And God, it was a relief. I'd had
to be fair, you've got a lot of pate material.
Otherwise, it would have been a disaster. Yeah. But yeah, so ultimately, I just competed with some mushed up dog.
But nobody shouted out or anything. It was the pate. The pate in itself killed the mood,
yeah.
And presumably the duck or whatever it was.
Well, some people had the problem was there were a few people in the room who had the decency to not eat their pate. But a lot of people just ploughed on through.
Right.
And it was just like noises of knives and forks. And like nobody's going to laugh when they've got pate in their
no.
mouth.
No.
Because like who's going to, like, nobody wants to see pate inside someone's mouth at the best of times, but not when they're laughing. And so, yeah, so it kind of all just went downhill. And then at the end, I was like, you've been here. And you have been appreciative of something. I just don't know whether it was me. So that was my horror story of a gig. Wow. But it was quite similar to yours. But I've had some real shitters.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. That's not the worst.
Just the most recent.
That's just what one that I can remember has happened recently. But I've had...
Do you know what that reminded me of? I did a gig this summer where the buffet table was behind the stage. Oh, so whilst I was on stage, there was just a queue of people getting food. And also there was no mic stand. And one of the acts said, I've got a guitar. There's nothing we can do. And they fashioned a mic stand out of a traffic cone and a broom. And sellotape. Yeah.
You might want to re-record you explaining that, because what I sort of subconsciously did without realizing was when you said the buffet table was behind the stage, I whispered "fucking motherfucker" into the mic, and I didn't really think about it, but I did it. So you might want to just record that line again.
Turn it up.
You fucking motherfucker.
So it's going to sound like a ghost. It's just like, fuck.
Even the ghosts are angry about that.
No. I've had some horrible things happen. A guy threw a chair once.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's insane.
Name the gig.
It was joking, I've never been there. Not that I wouldn't. I would never go to that sex hotel.
What town was the gig in?
It was in London.
Oh, really?
And it was nothing to do with the venue or the gig or anything like that. It was very much to
just
do with the man
crazy
in
dude.
Question.
A lot of the time it never is. It's just you get a crazy...
Yeah, and he was incredibly drunk and I was winning in our exchange. And so he decided to throw a chair.
That's like the most primal thing you can do in that situation. I am losing. Mm-hmm. Let's just throw a chair.
Yeah.
Wow.
Were there bouncers though? Because that's
Yeah, no, he immediately got removed from the establishment.
Wow.
What's bad is when there's not bouncers and it's a place that consistently gets rowdy crowds and they're not willing to get bouncers because they want to keep all the money and they're very selfish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just talking about one specific place.
is this going to be your horror story?
Well, now, where's this? I don't know. Where is it, Alex? Well, it's a place that should have security and doesn't have security. And one day something's going
to
happen. But
no, I want to know.
That sounds like a threat.
Now that I'm on the receiving end of not knowing, now I want to know.
That's horrible. Can you say something that rhymes with it?
But yes.
That's normally all right, isn't it?
No, mate.
What was it?
It's a place, Sarah. I mean, you're moving in different circles to us.
Again, we can bleep it out.
You're very popular.
What
you're a hip young
in?
Thing. You went.
Is it London?
No, it's not.
Brighton. Are we not supposed to say where we are in the world?
the two rules of this podcast: no dates, timestamps, and no place stamps.
No, we're in
Brighton. We're live from the Ukraine.
Well, we're moving and shaking.
It's a place outside of Brighton.
Okay.
And I think it's always been a nice gig.
Well, there's a lot of upheaval at the moment about venues taking all the money and not paying comedians.
Oh, okay.
But that happens everywhere, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Consistently. Yeah. So if you're going to go after one, maybe you should go after all of them.
But as we've learned, apparently it's not even a solid business model. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Bloody hell,
if you try and do that, you will eventually close down.
Yeah, exactly.
And nobody will be sad, apart from the people you owe money to.
Yeah, that's not cool. I was tempted.
You know who you are.
Fucking motherfucker.
There's so
Can
many.
Can you edit that in just at every pause?
Sarah just whispering into the microphone, fucking motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we're angry.
There's a lot of topics bubbling underneath the surface of this podcast, which is really strange. We never usually have done that before. But yes, so.
So yeah, that was that. It is now time for our regular feature, which is called Plots That About.
Plots that are plots, 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 that are plots that about.
Plots that
Perfect. It's better than the actual jingle. Sorry, producer Al.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So, Plots That About is a feature where I give you and Joe a different film title each. And it's a real film that exists, but the plot, the film's, the title's a bit vague. So that is for you to come up with your own plot to the film. And feel free to embellish as much as you like, including whatever actors you think are in the film.
It's an improv game.
Improv! Joe has played this a lot, so he will be going first. Joe, are you ready for your
film?
You're
the headliner of the game.
Thank you very much.
That's all right.
As I would expect.
Yeah.
Joe, your film, and I hope you haven't seen it, is Silent But Deadly.
Silent But Deadly. The film Silent But Deadly is about a Bulgarian schoolgirl who wants to be living a life outside of her own life that she currently has. So she decides to go on a road trip with an older man called Nathan, who is played by Forrest Whitaker. Okay, the girl is played by Forrest Whitaker. No, the girl is played by the girl is played by a young Helena Bonham Carter. That's how long ago it was done.
Okay.
Okay, so they go on this road trip together and they go to Bruges. And they...
From Bulgaria.
From Bulgaria. It's not far, is it?
It's quite far.
Well, you know, it's a mission.
Big road trip.
It's a mission, but they get it done. And they decide to set up a cobbler's shop to make shoes. But then their cobbler's shop is set on fire by Gemma Collins from The Only Way is Essex.
Okay.
All right.
And the cobbler's shop burns down. And then they try and get... So they're trying to get Gemma Collins with the help of... Janine Garofalo.
I love the timeline on this. It's just all over the show, isn't it? Yeah. So it's like Helena Bonham Carter when she's young, but then Gemma Collins now.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't specify the age of...
Yeah, actually, or Gemma the time period. Been, yeah. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah.
How old is Gemma Collins in the film?
Gemma Collins is the age that she is now.
All right. As long as you clarify, that's
totally
fine.
So, I'll allow it. Forrest Whitaker, Helena Bonham Carter, and Janine Garofalo go up to... They find Gemma Collins, and they're like, "You burnt down our cobbler's shop, you cunt." And then she's like, "Well, you can fucking find me, babe." Like that. So then they leave, and she disappears. But she's gone to this castle. So they find her in the middle of the night. They break into her room. And they murder Gemma Collins. And not in a dignified way either. With a brick. Silent but deadly.
Wow.
Wow.
Incredible.
Thanks.
Wow. Just what I like about yours, Joe, is, first of all, I don't know if any listeners have noticed this, every one of yours is about someone trying to get away from their life, which I think is really telling. They always start off, this person works in an office and they really hate it or something like that.
Right.
So that's happened. And then also I like the way that halfway through you always get really into it then. That's when, you know, the idea is obviously formulated at that point and you get more animated about it.
I like to
think
that in every story Gemma Collins dies.
Well, I prepare for 17 hours beforehand. So, yeah.
Wow.
Thank you for that, Joe. That was fantastic.
Thank you, as ever.
And at the end, producer Al will decide which of the two films he'd most like to see. And I will also reveal what the real plots are.
All right.
Sarah, your film, and I hope you haven't seen this, is A Sound of Thunder. Have you seen this before?
I haven't seen it, no.
Alex, no one's ever seen them.
To be fair, I do normally go to like zero rating on Rotten Tomatoes, so I hope people haven't seen these.
That is also where I go to find the films that I watch.
Lucky you found one she hadn't watched.
All right. The Sound of Thunder is about a set of identical twins called Rob and Boar.
Rob and Boar?
Yeah. Boar. So like Rob backwards.
Sounds Norwegian.
Yeah, their parents only knew three of the letters. So they were like, we'll do that one that way and then we'll go the other way. And then it's convenient as well because sometimes they call each other bro.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah.
Joe, you've already laughed.
And carry on.
So that's useful as well. I just came up with that, by the way. I'm gonna write that down for later.
You can copyright that.
Thank
yours.
You. Genius. God, I mean, I think I might just leave it there. And they are searching for their sister, whose name is Orb. And she is the youngest of the three, and she disappeared during a thunderstorm the twins' third birthday.
Wow. Who are the characters played by?
Oh, sorry. The twins are both played by June Sarpong. she's playing a man because it's quite...
She plays both.
She plays both of the twins.
Like sort of she plays Hardy and the Crays kind of. Yeah,
and it's an incredible portrayal because she's so distinct with the two of them.
Yeah. They're very different kind of personality traits.
Yeah, one of them's got a mustache and the other doesn't. It's really clear. And Orb is played by Sir Trevor.
McDonald's.
yeah. It's a gender switch.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they're searching for Orb, who disappeared during the thunderstorm. And it's several years later, so they're all adults now, because it'd be really challenging for these 2 or 3-year-olds to find their sister. So it's been years have gone by, and they finally decide, you know what, we should probably have a look for her because she's not come back for a while.
2 years later they decide that.
Yeah, and off they leave their sleepy little town in the Ukraine and travel to Japan.
Thank you, Sarah.
They heard a rumor that Orb had been spotted working in a school. So they go to the school and they're like, hey, we're looking for the maintenance woman, Orb. And the people at the school are like, there was a maintenance woman called Orb who worked here, but she died several years ago.
Listeners, the aircon switched off exactly that moment.
Exactly, because this is getting tense.
Yeah, the aircon is linked to our intrigue.
They said that she died several years ago, and Rob and Boar are absolutely distraught. They're really upset, and then suddenly, they're in Japan. They have no idea how they're going to go back to the Ukraine. Things are not good. They've been robbed on the street, and Rob was like, "This is so ironic," and. They had all their money stolen. They didn't know what they were going to do. And then suddenly a thunderstorm starts to happen. And they receive a message via telekinesis from Orb. And Orb comes down.
Wow.
That's the sound of the Orb. And it says, I didn't die. I'm stuck in the maintenance cupboard at the school. Help. And they're like, ugh. Why didn't we check the cupboards? So they rush back to the school, but the school is closed because it's the weekend, and
and that stops them. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
So they have to wait till Monday.
How much does that part of the film take? The bit of waiting till Monday.
It's a long scene. just waiting and waiting and waiting, and then they get in and they check all the maintenance cupboards, and she's not there. Where is she? And so they're like, oh man, we're going to have to just hang out till there's another thunderstorm. How frustrating. We should have taken a number or something. But then they ask a guy at the school and they're like, oh, there is one more maintenance cupboard. But it was boarded up several years ago. And so they go and there's a really intense scene where they're like pulling all the boards away and the bricks and their nails are breaking and they're screaming and they're like, Orb, are you there? And Orb's like, Rob, boar. my bros, is that you? And then they reunite to the sound of thunder.
Oh, wow. That is nice.
Yeah, thank you.
I think a round of applause, guys.
Wow, yeah, that was great.
Anyway.
I've actually moved myself.
Yeah, that's really good. Thanks.
There was loads of, it's just all tied in perfectly, like the orbs from the thunder. Ooh, so many levels.
Wow. So I've got to pick a winner somehow.
No.
Oh.
Which winner do you pick every time?
Oh, that's true. That's true. And also, I'm going to say it as well. If there was a leaderboard for best plots that abouts that we've ever had in this whole series, that we've, you know, we've had about seven or eight of these now, at least. That is at least joint first with Sophie Hagen's, I think, that one. Thank you.
I mean, really kind. I thought you were going to be like, that is probably in the middle.
That is bang about.
That's average.
Yeah. That's at least joint first. That is bang on fantastic.
That feels like a Top Gear leaderboard.
Yeah. But I think we were all on the edge of our seats there.
Yeah.
I like the way you tied this. Oh, so many number threes as well was tied in with it all over the place. It was a few years, three people, three names in the, three letters in the name.
Absolutely on purpose.
You knew what going
on. The look on Sarah's face trying to process back through her own story.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if I did.
I was noticing it happening.
You're one of those people that sees like symbols in films. The director's like, we just wanted to make a nice movie.
Yeah. So that thing in Game of Thrones where someone, like there's a bit of frost that melted on a handle, like, oh my God, that means that his eyes are opening and he's back to life. It's like, nah, it's just some actual frost melted.
I've never seen Game of Thrones.
Oh, thank God. Jesus Christ, my life. Stranger Things and Game of Thrones is all I hear about now. Congratulations on your lovely story. But
I do love Stranger Things, though.
Yeah,
I haven't even named the winner yet.
I'm still alone in the wilderness television.
I can't al off it.
Right. Well, yes. So I loved all the three things. And it is kind of my job to analyse film anyway as part of my job. So I do see stuff like that, and that was excellent work.
Thank you.
I mean, also, the way... I mean, Joe, normally you tend to bring it back to the title somehow, don't you?
Like, I was trying you didn't to do that shake this things week. Up.
I know, which is good. But then Sarah swooped in there and did, at the end, bring it back to the title of the film, what it being The Sound of Thunder, and that was when they found the sister to The Sound of Thunder.
And oddly enough, she's probably going to win, whereas I've always lost.
Yeah.
I don't make it about that. I worked really hard.
Yeah.
Well, I think that you told a terrific plot
I've
story.
I've been working on that story for years.
You've been waiting for someone to ask you about The Sound of Thunder.
Yeah. My real name is Orb. My brothers. If you're
oh, my there. God. Who's that coming in? Trevor McDonald, but he's a lady.
So, yes, the winner this episode's Plot That About is definitely Sarah Keyworth. Well done, Sarah. Yes.
Congratulations, Sarah.
Thank you. Brilliant. What do I get? Do I get anything?
A Kinder Egg?
Oh, sweet.
Yeah,
do you want a Kinder Egg? I haven't got it on me yet, but I can get you a
Kinder
Egg. I
thought you were going to say the Dr. Pepper that you already have given when we walked in. Dr. Pepper, Diet Coke. Jesus.
Yeah.
I've got lost my mind.
Right. The actual film plots for those two films. A Sound of Thunder. In 2055, a greedy entrepreneur owns a time travel business which allows millionaires to go back into prehistoric era and hunt dinosaurs. There are rules in place to ensure the present isn't altered. Unfortunately, during one trip, someone steps on a butterfly with disastrous effects.
Sounds fucking incredible.
That does sound great. Yeah. But if that was even a possibility, what's the point in having all the rules?
Yeah, I suppose if you're killing dinosaurs, that's just as bad.
It's almost as if there's
a
like a big fault with that plot. But that does sound good. I mean, who wants to hunt a dinosaur, though? It's going to fucking rip you to pieces. Sorry.
Rich people are weird, though.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Well, actually, yeah. Probably. Well,
I preferred Sarah's Sound of Thunder.
Yeah.
I thought yours was better than the real one.
Yeah.
Joe. Like, so that was sort of Wikipedia, and this, for the next film, Silent But Deadly, this is word for word the official plot for the film. Okay. So you know it's going to be good. Silent But Deadly. Senior citizens are being offed by a masked killer stalking the halls of their retirement home. Residents are disappearing, ghosts are haunting, and to top it all off, there's an STD outbreak.
Talk about low-hanging fruit as well. God. A serial killer that only goes after pensioners. This is insane.
Residents find themselves in a big game of whodunit as they struggle to survive old age and a murderous psychopath.
And a yeast and infection.
Chlamydia. And chlamydia. Silent but deadly.
Yeah, that's like a horror film.
It's called. It was kind of described as a comedy horror.
But there's almost okay. So there's almost like a direct reference to the fact that people randomly just like bone in the middle of horror films.
Yeah,
so they were like,
let's
even put a spanner in those words.
Can't even do that.
Yeah.
Do you know what the
cast
is?
The official
is?
Plot.
Silent but Deadly. The cast. I want to know what
it is. Oh, it says here. Hang on.
Jun Sopong.
It's Trevor McDonald as a woman. featuring
come in, the water's fine.
Featuring Bruce Valanche, brackets TV hot TV's Hollywood Squares, Rip Taylor, TV's Life with Bonnie.
He was also in Freddy Got Fingered, Rip Taylor.
Oh, that
and he was in Men in Black 1.
And Dawn Wells from Gilligan's Island.
Mm. Oh, Dawn.
So, all star cast there.
Oh, man.
And that is a film that I will be watching later.
Yeah, that sounds like a good film.
I'm
glad no one went to farts.
I was proud of you for avoiding that.
It was kind of like a curveball, that one. Like,
see, guys, you didn't want to. It's easy. Just go with the second thing you think.
That's comedy.
Just
that's
comedy. Skip past farts straight to what you said.
Straight to Gemma Collins. I love the way that the TV, that ironically, my girlfriend watches The Only Way Is Essex and Game of Thrones, which is such a contradiction. Contradiction when I go out to do gigs. That's her thing now, because I don't watch either of them. Apart from sometimes. But Gemma Collins has now bled into my world, and my world's all Gemma Collins now. I watched like 5 minutes before I left for a gig and...
Are you okay?
Bleeding into my mind.
Gemma Collins is my word.
Just Gemma Collins everywhere I go.
We're just going to cut that bit out. Yeah.
I think I love
her. I don't know. What can we keep in? Do you know? But yeah, it's tough. Do you have any guilty pleasures TV-wise?
Oh yeah. Like so many. I used to watch a lot of Pretty Little Liars. Terrible show. But so great. Because I'm not very good at watching scary things. So any kind of scary or gory TV is not good for me. So that is very like PG level suspense where it's like so not... It's so ridiculous that it's funny, but it's still
trying
to be scary.
What channel was it?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
What's it about?
It's about... is it five girls? A group of five girls. They're all friends. One of them disappears. And they're all like, oh, shit, she's disappeared. And they're like, oh, she's probably dead. And then, like, a year after her disappearance, they all, they find each other again because they've kind of drifted apart after it all happened. And then they start getting texts from somebody called A, and the name of the girl who disappeared is called Allison. And they're a bit threatening, and they're like... So they were like, is she alive? Is it her? Who is this person? What's going on? It's so bad, but
do they start getting offed? They start getting, is it?
People do die. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but like there are deaths.
Sweet.
They're not afraid to kill people off.
And it's PG.
I wouldn't say it's particularly like you wouldn't show it to a child, but like it's not.
It's safe for someone that doesn't like really gory horror stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But any other guilty pleasures?
I like watching Made in Chelsea. I very much enjoy it. It's one of my favourite guilty pleasures.
Did you watch Celebrity Hunted?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah,
it was great.
Actually really funny.
What is that?
It's another piece of shit. No, I'm
well, no, I mean, it is.
It's basically loads of celebrities sort of pretend to get together for Stand Up To Cancer. But they they are being hunted by what I can imagine is, if you've got MI5, there's like, if you imagine MI5 was the comedy circuit, they're being hunted by like the open micers. But do you know what I mean? So basically they're acting like they're really big deals. Oh, okay. But they're like, you know, I've hunted down terrorists in 75 different countries, but I just can't find Spencer and Jamie from The Only Way. Do you know what I mean? And then there, what was the other? There was like a really old couple from Gogglebox. Not really, really.
Annika
old,
Rice was amazing on it.
Annika Rice was in it. Then two fucking idiots from The Wanted who did the best.
Yeah.
They were like fucking the Scarlet Pimpernels, but they were just so stupid that they blundered their way through the whole thing. It's a really good show to watch.
Where can I find this?
It's on Channel 4.
Channel 4, yeah, it's okay. On all four at the moment. It's really fucking like... But like, everyone like... Basically, the thing is that you're supposed to sit there and go, you know, it just shows how much the government is watching us. But it's not really like that, because the government would find you a lot fucking quicker.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. So that it's kind of like they get into someone's... They keep pulling over cars, don't they? And then they go... Hi, we're Spencer and Jamie from Made in Chelsea. Can we need to get to Brantford.
We're fugitives on the loose.
Yeah, yeah. And the guy's just like, yeah, sure, get in. Where it's like, that's obviously like the seventh car, because everyone else has been like, fuck
and
off.
And they've obviously asked them to sign some kind of release form. what's going on. But it's funny as well, because the moment the people hunting them like get wind of where they are and they kind of set off to go and find them, like either through tracking a phone or like getting tipped off by somebody or whatever, somehow like they are then informed that they're on their way. Like suddenly they just have an epiphany and they're like, hold on a minute, what if that phone was tapped? And then so it's like a dramatic like, yeah. We gotta get out of here. Yeah. And it's like they've definitely set this up so that you are running away, because they've got to make at least 4 episodes. So
yeah.
The reason that you're still running is because this would be a really bad show if within 1 ep everyone got caught. Yeah.
Like, which is what would happen in reality.
Yeah.
They would all be shot in the back of the head with silencers before the end of the opening credits. I would actually prefer that as a show. But yeah, there's
it's not really in the spirit of stand up to cancer. These celebrities have been shot in the back of the head
to save lives.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's the point, isn't it? To make an omelette. But yeah, what I really like about it is they always act like they're nearly about to get caught.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but they'll cut it so they're getting there and they'll be like, okay, cool. And all the guys who are on the ground teams, I think they call them, the ground teams will arrive and they're like, right, okay, Jay, go around the back. Like as if they give a shit. Like literally they're like the shittest people in the fucking...
They were quite aggressive when they caught the couple from Gogglebox. They got them in the car and they were like holding onto them. And they were like
pensioners.
You're going to kill them.
But like, yeah, they cut it. So, and then they like... But like as you said, they were like, "Oh yeah, they're gonna get away," and then they're going, "Hey, dude, like Spencer and Jamie from Manchester, dude, man, I think we should get out of here." Like I've just got a really bad feeling about this. But they'll cut it so when they get to the house and they'll walk in, they'll go, "Have you seen Spencer and Jamie?" And the person always really unconvincingly goes, "No," and then they'll go like. And like the voiceover person will be like, Jamie and Spencer left 7 hours before. They came. It's just like, well, why the big build up then? They'd already fucking gone. But yeah.
Television. It sounds great.
It's a fun show though.
It is a fun show.
I need to check this out.
That's a guilty pleasure.
Do you have any guilty pleasures, Joe? That isn't that?
Do I have any guilty pleasures to watch? No. I mean, I've got certain films, The Wedding Singer, Point Break. Do you know what I watched the other day that's fucking incredible and it hasn't aged a day? The Matrix is a great film and it has not aged. You think that it would get like really shit? Like, you think, like, because how many years ago? It's 19, actually, I know because I looked it up today because I was going to do the film years quiz that we used to do, but I did it around the table and then I forgot to write the rest of it down. So it was actually made in 1999.
And you've seen The Matrix?
I have, yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, it's like, it's a film that you'd think that would rely on that day and age, but it's actually still fucking brilliant.
I want to rewatch it.
Have you not?
I've seen it a while ago. Trinity was one of my earliest crushes.
I think she was for most of this, I reckon.
Calm down
there.
Now you mention it.
I've completely forgotten about that. Oh, the flashbacks.
I only seen The Matrix the first time.
I like
this year.
Morpheus. Sorry.
How does he wear those glasses that just balance on his face when he's doing all the stunts and stuff? I mean, I know it's fiction, but like, because they're just like balanced on his nose.
Perfectly, aren't they? Yeah.
And he's like kicking ass and taking names, but the glasses are staying on. I'm like, is it glue?
And also, sometimes he smashes into walls, so there must be quite a lot of dust. But you never see him like taking the glasses off and like wiping his eyes with his hand.
You know, they didn't have time for all the lens cleaning scenes.
Yeah, that's where the film really sort of, the whole plot sort of falls apart for me, where I'm like, this is so unbelievable.
Yeah. I find myself watching a lot of TV.
Yeah, Alex, you must have loads of guilty pleasures besides, you know, going
to the
doctor.
You are off work a lot with all of your illnesses and things. What do you watch during the day when you're, like, off work?
You know, on a standard, you know, it's a couple of hernias.
Two hernias deep.
I've got laryngitis.
What do you put
up? Two hernias deep. Brilliant. Stop the recording. Nothing better than two hernias deep is going to happen.
Oh dear.
Two hernias deep sounds like a band name.
Like a hipster folk band.
Oh, go on, sorry.
Yeah, definitely. This time I was off. I watched a lot of classic films that I'd never seen before that I always been meaning to see. Can't compete with two hernias.
Two hernias deep is now going to be your guilty pleasure. You're just going to like...
I'm just trying to think of film names that I can add the
word hernia to.
Yeah. The Silence of the Hernias. Yeah.
Too Fast, Two Hernias. That's our new feature for the next episode.
I'm also thinking like it's your first Edinburgh show, Two Hernias Deep as well.
Yeah. Don't throw it in the bin, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but that'd be a spoiler. I watched a lot of daytime TV while I was off. Even if you really hate the programme, you sit there thinking, I hate this programme, but then it just stays on anyway. And it's, if you're being really, well, couldn't get up that easily, but a lot of these just stay on. And
is Jeremy Kyle still on?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't watch that one though.
Oh, Jeremy Kyle?
Yeah.
I assume so.
I watched really good feature on, I want to say something like This Morning, on a new trend for guarding livestock, which is guard alpacas.
What do you mean? What do you
so,
mean?
So, like, they have
what
like.
What the hell are you saying?
getting recorded, you know?
Guard alpacas. So basically,
good feature on This Morning.
I love the way he thinks that just repeating it is explaining it.
I found it quite interesting. So basically, like if you've got like chickens or turkeys or sheep, if you want to keep the foxes away, you just insert a couple of alpacas to the herd, and then the alpacas actively chase away foxes and predators. So they act as guard alpacas.
Oh, I see. I thought you were suggesting that we should guard the alpacas.
So what's your day job? I just guard alpacas.
We're going near my morning, alpacas like, right now.
Are you out of work?
The man's been
I can imagine those sort of army trailer things.
That would literally be the oddest defense for murder.
Pub, and now I
hey, touch my fucking alpaca.
I went to uni, it wasn't for me. Oh man.
Did you do a degree in it before getting to alpaca guarding?
Okay, so they chase away foxes and stuff.
Yeah.
They're bad motherfuckers.
No, they're badass alpacas.
I got followed up the road by a fox yesterday.
That's nice though, isn't it? That's a nice experience.
It didn't feel nice at the time.
No. Okay, so this was more of a following.
Because I was like, how's this going to end? Yeah, but in the end, he like he branched out. We went our separate ways. Yeah.
How long was he following you for?
Like a solid 3 minutes. And I was on the phone and I was like, there's a fox following me.
Did you tell the person on the phone?
Well, yeah. I had to.
If anything happens to me, it's this fox.
It's a fox. But it was
Do you think maybe it was the look of the fox that made you think that it was following you? Like, was it a city fox or was it a lovely country fox? Because maybe if it was a country fox, you would have been like, oh, you know, that's not so bad.
I think it was definitely a city fox because I was in London.
Yeah.
But
that'll tell you.
I was visiting for the night.
A country fox with a travel card. Yeah.
I was in Angel and it followed me up the road. It's just in the middle of the afternoon. And it was like on a side street, so it wasn't like a main road. And I was on my own. And it was one of those, it was like a horror film moment where I was like being followed by it. And I was like getting faster and faster and like watching it as it followed me. And then it like I turned around and I just ran into somebody I knew. And I was like, oh, hi, Neil. And he was like, you're right. And I was like, yeah, there was a, and I turned around and the fox was gone. And I was like, yeah, I'm fine. How are you? Yeah.
There was no one there, Sarah.
This is how rumours of the fact that you might be losing it start circulating. Under a lot of pressure at the moment.
Yeah, she seemed fine, but she was going on with this fox.
So now...
The fox is in the
room. I'm so sorry.
That's all right, Joe.
Is this... So basically, right... I haven't brought it up till now.
Oh, my God.
But this chair is broken. So every now and again, I have to lean on that, which causes the noise.
Yeah.
We need to take a photo of this. So
go for it.
You've been working under extreme pressure this whole time, Joe.
So is that chair.
It was...
No offence.
It was...
Except for the offence.
It was, well, it, you know, I have had a roast dinner.
Both Sarah and producer Alan are taking photos of said chair.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my
God. This is chaos
that
now.
That bottle's a little fucker, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
I kept the lid off so it wouldn't make the noise.
That's that.
It's a good job we've got those photos, because if it goes and you get injured, well, I might have to sue Comedia. So now we've got the before shot.
Yeah, they kindly let us use the room to record the
Before. Yeah.
Then we sue their asses.
Let's finish recording first.
It's a shame because that chair is part... That's a set, isn't it? Yeah. You know, because they all talk under that table.
Are they all that bad?
No, I think the other ones are fine, but I didn't know how Al would respond to me, because I've already been moving the table to keep myself steady. I didn't know how me slowly moving a chair across the room was going to go down.
Well,
but
you could have said, can we stop for a second? The chair I'm sitting on is dangerous. We're not that
I'm just a professional. I'm like Terry Wogan. But yeah, okay, cool.
Like Terry Wogan.
Thank you very much.
Joe is now swapping the chair about 45 minutes in.
Okay, cool. I mean, hopefully none of this will stay. Oh, that's actually fucking... Look at that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Safe as houses.
Comparatively.
You need a comparison photo of the broken chair.
Yeah, no one's going to want to miss that.
We've provided a lot of things that need visual aids in this episode.
Yeah, probably.
Like your pumpkin with a hat.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've got that. Ready to give you.
Ready
not,
to
not like right here.
I want a photo of you with
Alex's nightmare continues as I just start carving a pumpkin during the podcast.
Oh my God, it's happening again.
I've never actually had... I've had a gig. My problems have all been very specific and ones that you would expect when a gig's being run by a fucking moron. So, pool table, stage, pool table, football on the TV, stuff like that.
Mm. Yeah.
And I've spoken quite a lot before about how gigs shouldn't be run really in the middle of a pub.
Or like no separate room, mic stand in a room.
Yeah, you just need a room, don't you? Like anything. I have actually done some, though, that would make me disagree with my own point there, where it's in the middle of a bar and it manages to work somehow.
Yeah, I think it can work, but most of the time it doesn't.
Yeah, that's
But if you have any other kind of, like a TV or a pool table, is
you're already up against... It has the potential to work, but you're already up against it.
If they set it out nicely, they put some chairs out and stuff and actually make it look like there is going to be a show happening, then people will... subconsciously just go with the space and enjoy it. But if you make it look like this is a pub where you can do whatever the hell you want, and also there happens to be a person standing on a stage talking at you.
Yeah.
I once did a gig where there were like 10 people in the room. It was a massive room, and there was a pool table at the back, and two guys came in and walked to the back of the room and started playing pool. It was so loudly. And I was just like, at the end, I was just like, are you going to seriously play pool for the entire time that I'm doing this? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, I will give you 50p for your next game if you come and sit down. And they were like, well, okay. And sit down. And then I think I lost the rest of the audience because I, for some reason,
but we want 50p.
Appeared desperate. Yeah,
that's it.
Just to say, the message of this is not like, if you piss me off in a gig, I'll just give you some money.
I am coming to the gig tonight, so I will be
playing pool with them.
I've just got a basketball. I'm just going to bounce it all the way through your set.
And like a little thing that buskers have.
Just I've a hat.
Putting money in.
If you go to all of Sarah's gigs throughout the year.
Yeah. Take your coins purse.
That moves us swiftly on to the plug section of the podcast. Sarah, do you have anything you would like to plug?
I do. So on February 11th, I'm going to be doing a show in Leicester at the Leicester Comedy Festival. So that is like a Sunday or a Saturday or something, and it's on at like 5 p.m., 4 p.m., something like that. It's called Sarah Key with Dark Horse. You can find it on the internet. And in March, I will be doing the Vault Festival in London. And throughout the entire year, I will just be doing several previews wherever I can of this show. So if you go on my website, which is www.sarahkeyworth.com, there will be previews up there, and it would be really nice to get some audience members there. Thanks, guys.
Lovely. Cool. And your Twitter is?
At Sarah K Comedy. I recently changed it, and I keep forgetting. But it's Sarah K Comedy.
Why did you change it? Was it?
Because it was like Sarah Key was one. I was like, that's lame. It's just a vain reason. It wasn't like I was being haunted.
Joe?
I have prepared for this moment of plugging. This is going to be big, right? Next year, we have 5th of January, Bearcat Comedy in London. Check the website. February, we have 11th of February, Comedy Tapas for Constant and Kissing in Tunbridge Wells. Not sure of the venue, but it's called Comedy Tapas. 28th of February, Top Secret Comedy in London. Then 15th of March next year, I will be plugging these consistently for the rest of the time, which is why I've started with next year. Gittins to Know You, 15th of March 2018 at Sticky Mike's Frog Bar. And on the 21st of April, I've got someone's wedding, so don't worry about that. But I'm also doing the Brighton Fringe. I don't have the dates. I actually was supposed to send Cliff from the Carolina Brunswick my application for Laughing Horse today, but instead I made a roast. So this is an apology to Cliff personally, because we spoke to him last time we were at the Comedia. To see Barry and David Earl and Angelos. And he said that he liked my film quiz. And I said, really? Because everyone keeps on saying it's shit. And he said, yeah, it's shit. But it's the nostalgia game.
I'm also hoping to do Brighton Fringe. Haven't got a date or anything confirmed yet. But I'm also, I'm definitely
going. Nice.
Definitely maybe, definitely not.
Nice.
Don't know. Going to be there.
We'll give it a plug when it's all confirmed.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much to Comedia for having us for this for this episode.
Thank you, Comedia.
Right, I think that is everything for this month. Thank you, Joe Foster.
Bonjour.
Thank you, producer Al.
Cool, cheers.
Thank you, our Ukrainian listeners. And thank you to our fantastic guest this month, Sarah Keyworth.
Thanks for having
me. Cheers, thank you all.
Goodbye.
Ladies, everyone.